Okay, guys, welcome back to your A-List Lowdown coming at you Tuesday, May 28th, 2025 with Banned Books.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Is it Wednesday?
May 28th. It's Wednesday, yeah. We were going to do it Tuesday, but we didn't.
Wednesday, May 28th, 2025, coming at you with the show. Should be a good one. I think, why did we miss yesterday? We were busy recording other shows, right?
Yeah. We just had lots going on.
Well, I was fishing all day, so it doesn't count as a day.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're on YouTube. And sure, you can also get us on podcast form, alist.ca.
Share it about even on X and stuff too. Share it anywhere. Yeah. Oh, I should put a note out in our chats that we're live too.
Come on, man. Okay, I'll get started. I'll jump over to Marty up north with this little breakdown. See what you think of this. This is, let me zoom in a little so people can see. Canada Post has recorded losses 7 years in a row, approaching 1 billion. I mean, this is kind of a problem. You know, here's my question, is how does it go from, because this is all kind of, you could live with it, you know, even a quarter billion, if you got to lose that to run a postal service for people that, you know, because some places, if you had to go Purolator or something like that, it's retarded. I sent a book to the East Coast and it cost me three times what it would on Canada Post, and I'm in a pretty like...
Whoa, hang on. What, you mean Canada Post wasn't cheaper?
Canada Post was on strike.
It was cheaper.
Canada Post was cheaper, for sure.
Well, that's weird, but isn't Purolator owned by the government anyways? So it's pretty much a government operation?
Yeah, but it was still... I was surprised. I was actually taken aback by the price to ship the book. I was like, what? I was like, the book isn't worth that.
Where was that to go back east with one book?
To go Freedom Combo. Yeah, I sent him a book, and it was like $35 or something like that. It might have been over $40. They weigh it and all this stuff. And I think with Canada Post, it wasn't cheap, but it was still more like 15, you know?
15 or 20. Because people, I hear people bitching again that it's be easier to ship stuff to the States or even from the States to here is cheaper than going from here to back east.
It's and I mean, to send letters and stuff, it's definitely a lot cheaper.
But I don't understand how they record a profit and loss if they're a government, because they're a crown corporation or whatever. Like, are they a crown corporation? So they
are not even that.
They show profit and loss. Like, did they? I didn't know they actually really until recently that they even measured this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, these I didn't even notice, but these 3 years here are in the plus.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, so after COVID really just tanked them. It's like they couldn't recover after COVID. It really looks like they were slipping, and then COVID came and it just did a number on them, and they could never get it back.
So is it like corruption, or is it?
It's just like, it's
because here's the thing. Amazon is fucking a lot of these places over too. Now, I don't know the total ins and out of it. So I'm just starting to look into it, but Amazon comes in and like does this weird like mass contract stuff. They did it to the USPS too, where they've got like, they're paying almost nothing for shipping because of volume contracts or something like that. So that could have something to do with it. The rise of online shipping and Amazon, because I mean, I'm paying $9 a month for free shipping. And
do you remember,
I use Amazon enough that it's like, you know, it's crazy that you're shipping me this $15 part for my truck. Like, and I'm in the middle of fixing my truck right now. So it's like, I need a part every couple of days. And, you know, it's a $35 window, not a button or this thing. So it's like, you know, how is it feasible? It's, how can you afford to? Now, that being said, usually they're using these, like in telecom and stuff like that. But I have read some stuff, and I'll dig into it for the next show on Amazon's role in the demise of the postals.
Well, who were we talking to on our other show that was in the work? They were a postal worker in the States, and they said there's a huge room of backlogged packages that weren't getting delivered because they had to focus on what, Amazon? Like, weren't they? So their normal customer packages were put on the back burner, I think, right? Like, they just had this constant room full of old packages that wouldn't get delivered because of all that. So I think the U.S. Postal Service was a mess as well because of this.
Yeah, so I'm going to dig into that for the next episode, so I'm not talking out my ass. But to me, something's going on here. I mean, it just, you know, it's too much that you start losing. You know, you've got almost $1 billion swing here in 7 years.
Do we get a discount? Do I get a discount because they don't deliver to the house? Like, we have to use P.O. boxes in these small towns. I mean, did you see somebody from Canada Post posted something about they could save a couple $100 million a year if they just did P.O. boxes instead of delivering to people's homes?
Well, here's the other thing. Do they have to do it every day? You know, could it be 3 days a week, 2 days a week? I mean, you know, I don't know. It's things to think about. But like I say, I just, to me, this chart screams of either corruption or some sort of other corporate takeover, you know, whether it's an Amazon thing or, but something's going on here to have a swing that big. Canadian household receive an average, this is Marty up north, Canadian household receive an average of 2 letters per week. I think it's time Canada Post considered only doing deliveries once a week. They could get rid of 80% of the letter carriers. But it's not the letter carriers. It can't be the letter carriers. They would have had to have hired 10 times the letter carriers for that to be the problem. Or they would have had to start doing 10 times less work. And even with the competency crisis and everything slipping, I think even cutting it in half is crazy. You know what I mean?
Well, did you see what their demands were for this?
Yeah, there was a couple crazy ones in there, but half of them were like, you know.
Oh, here it goes. Oh.
So no, this is the how much it costs to deliver mail. So I want to say I'm a rural mailbox. So I don't know. He's a group mailbox, community mailbox kiosk, which is what I am. But I think that me and Marty are probably more like down in this one. Because Marty's on an acreage too, so I'm sure they're considering us the rural, which is also just it's a group mailbox, so we could be in that one. Like the winter tires seems fine to me, you know, like if you're delivering, I mean, I think actually while we're on this topic, I think you posted the list. Here's the list right here. So let's see, we'll go through them and you tell me what you think each one. A 19% wage increase over 4 years.
I can't comment. I mean, it's just like, that seems like a lot, but everything's so messed up in Canada. I don't, I can't really comment. It seems ridiculous. Don't
know how much money they're making.
Yeah. It's hard to know. Yeah. I mean,
10 paid medical leave on top of 7 personal days. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like I think I got, when I was working, I got six days a year. And like what, 3 personal days? So that should be industry fertility treatment benefit. That's nice.
Well, I mean, you weren't really in a standard industry category either. I mean, I remember trying to get them up to just doing 10 days. We just do 10 days, you know, that's almost one a month for people to have personal days, you know?
Yeah. I was like bare minimum. My company was bare minimum. So fertility treatment benefit, that seems crazy, right? We shouldn't be paying for that.
No.
Should we? I mean, I'll tell you, I got a much better time. You know what? I think I'd be okay with fertility treatment because we need more babies. Gender affirming care benefit? Nah, that's fucking nuts. I'm already paying for that to a certain extent. You know what I mean? Like, why does the work have to pay for it when the hospitals are, you know, we have free healthcare?
It's not free.
Or is the gender affirming care, this is going to include your like psychiatrist, your blah, 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 all of that like care to get your, before you get your tits cut off. Paid meals for 5 hour shifts or more. I think that's law, isn't it?
No, paid meals. I mean, a paid break.
I'm assuming a paid meal would be like your lunch. So it's in Alberta, the law is, I know in Alberta, the law is you don't have to pay someone their half hour lunch break until it gets to 8 hours. Or maybe it's a paid break.
No, but you're not. No, Darren, you're talking about meals, Darren, not the break. They're not talking about, they're talking about their paid lunch, like somebody paying for their lunch.
I think they're talking about just, because now that I think about it, I never got a paid lunch. I got a paid break. Lunch,
yeah, yeah, that's what these are. This is not what they're talking about.
They want a paid lunch break.
No, they have a paid, don't they have, That's no, probably law. That's probably federal law.
Even at 8 hours, you don't get a paid lunch break. Right? Because I just had to work an extra half hour at the end of the day for my lunch break. And the reason I think that is because I think in the legislation, like when you look at it, that's what it says, is one is listed as a break and one is listed as a meal. And because what, you know, I remember fighting with them with the same place to like, can't you just pay them for the lunch break when they're out here? Like they live. No. Limit surveillance for productivity. 88% of wages of injured at work, which I think would be normal, wouldn't it? I think that's what WCB does. 88%. Anyway, vision care benefit seems fine. Increased health specialist benefit. I don't know what that is. Protection against technology.
I didn't notice all these ones.
So is that not letting a robot take your job?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
No contracting workout, which seems fine.
I don't know. You don't know how much they, I mean, maybe they can't get enough employees.
Well, my concern is they're contracting workout to Purolator.
Yeah, right.
Snow tires for rural mail carriers.
Yeah.
Seems fine. 8 hour routes. Seems fine. I mean, you'd have an easier time finding people if you give them an 8 hour day. Benefits for temporary employees. I don't think so. Eliminate separate sort from delivery. I don't know what that means. That's mail inside baseball.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, my version of an 8 hour day, like my version of the post office day, is they start super early and they're done by lunch. So it's like, however fast they can walk and do their route, they get done way before 8 hours.
Try and do most of the employees at 5 hours, from what I heard.
Yeah.
Probably because then they don't have to give benefits. I mean, I'm
so
sure
they want 8 hours. So that's why the thing is in there, 5 hours, because they want a paid meal at 5 hours. So you know what they're doing? They're saying, get out of here in 5 hours a day so we don't have to give you a lunch break. Right. So now they're saying we want 8 hour shifts. That's what it is.
Yeah. It's some Walmart shit.
Yeah.
All right. So let me stick with Marty up north up here with this one here. Called it 2 weeks ago. I think you and I could have called it too if we were still paying attention. Called it 2 weeks ago. Alberta Health Services continues to attack our seniors with their experimental gene therapy. Cases always follow immunization campaigns, not the other way around like they want us to believe. A few weeks ago, Alberta had a booster campaign in long-term care facilities, and just like clockwork, cases spike. So you can see this is... looks like this is over winter, then it comes right down and then shoots back up in May. Number of weekly hospital admissions and deaths shoots back up. And then if we click on Marty's tweet from 2 weeks ago, he says, he calls it. I mean, right here, he says cases will surge. Just watch. So anyway, that's probably more than I should have said about this sort of topic on the show, but here we are. You know?
Some friends of mine got it too, pretty bad.
Did they?
Yeah. They weren't recently boosted though, but I don't think.
All right, I'll do one more and then you can take a turn.
All right.
So this is the clip I thought you had. Now this is dubbed English, so let's listen to the clip first and then we'll.
Madame la présidente, je sollicite le consentement des membres de cette assemblée afin de.
Oh crap.
Uh oh.
This is a problem. I know this clip is here. One sec, I'll find it.
Of the vote.
106 for, none against, no abstention.
No, that ain't it. Ah, god damn it. Oh, here it is.
Madame Presidente, I seek the consent of the members of this assembly to jointly present with the leader of the second opposition group the following motion, that the National Assembly unequivocally affirms that it is the sole custodian of the democratic expression of the people, Quebecers, that it emphasizes that a very strong majority of Quebecers feel no attachment to the British monarchy, that the National Assembly agrees to abolish the link between the State of Quebec and the British monarchy.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. Is there consent to debate this motion, Mr. Deputy Government Leader?
There is consent without debate, Madam President.
Is this motion adopted, Mr. Deputy Nathan Matapirdia?
Why not vote, Madam President?
So the vote is now open.
So wow, look at that fancy digital voting screen.
It's all turning green, all green, and it looks like, I believe it's unanimous. They end up with all the green.
So kind of see who's trailing behind here.
Yeah, Quebec has voted unanimously to cut ties with the British monarchy.
Hey, look, it was dubbed with 11 labs.
Well, yeah, I seen that. Well, the king's here. I mean, it's funny, right?
Oh, yeah. You don't vote for kings.
And aren't we the assholes? I thought we're supposed to be the scumbags.
I know.
These guys are fucking besmudging the king. Anyway, I was down Vulcan today. My sticker's a big hit down there. Oh, I wore my leftist hat today as well again.
Oh yeah. We'll see. So let's continue on with the royal stuff. Then I'll just get my my thing out of the way here.
Set it up for you, buddy.
So what's this? I want to ask you about this. I mean, I don't even want to play these clips, but we should. Just there's two small clips of the king. It was pretty gross. He just read from the liberal. It's like he read from the liberal platform that used to be the conservative platform. Basically, just like what Carney would say.
Even had the figures.
Oh, it was gross. Oh, we're going to reduce your taxes by this much, and crime is going to, we're going to fight crime. And
even said, we're going to cut $50,000 off this fee for building houses. And we're going to stop the GST for first time home builders. I watched it live and I just had to shut it off. I was like, this is fucking retarded. We don't get the 100,000 followers because we swear too much and we say all the words you're not supposed to, like fentanyl. And
yeah, exactly. Do you think that changed the agenda changed, like he was going to come over for something else and then it changed? It seems ridiculous that he would come over to read off that paper.
I think this is a personal favor because Carney thought it would make him look more official. And I think it kind of backfired because I think he just kind of came off like a bitch. Especially the way he's like sitting off to the side in the little corner. Like, I mean, he looks.
Is that him there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch this.
I would like to acknowledge that we are gathered on the unceded territory of the Algonquin.
Oh, my God. I missed the very beginning. So he did a land acknowledgement?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This land acknowledgement is a recognition of shared history as a nation, while continuing to deepen my own understanding.
King of Canada.
It is my great hope that in each of your communities, and collectively as a country, a path is found toward truth and reconciliation in both word and deed. I would like to acknowledge.
So, I mean, this is pretty funny. He's like, Stephen Punawasi is like, congrats, Canada did it. We set the world record for a patronizing act. King's land, King did a land acknowledgement. This is like him saying, I recognize that I rule over the people and land my family conquered. So here's a question for you. Why did he only say that one tribe? Because of where they're physically sitting right now? Like it's not a land acknowledgement.
Yeah, it's a land acknowledgement for where they are right now.
Not for all of Canada, right? Not for all the land. Not for all the
No. The
conquered land.
No. Not conquered, treated.
We're almost going to be in the Holy Grail soon, you know, like how can you tell he's a king? Cause he hasn't got shit all over him.
We got a copyright strike for your last little clip. I hope you don't have any Monty Python clips today, buddy.
What if I say it really well, would I get a clip?
I'll be impressed if you could say it well enough to like, I mean, let's not do it on the stream. Cause no, but let's do like a private stream one day and you just do your impressions and see if you can get a strike.
You don't vote for kings. I didn't vote for you. It's so funny because the peasants don't even know who King Arthur is, right? They're like, who are you? He's like, I'm your king. And they're like, what? I didn't vote for you. You didn't vote for king.
Let's move it along. Are you doing something? Am I supposed to be seeing something?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm sharing this tab. Sorry. Here, this is just another little clip we need because this has got to do with you, too. I want to know what you think of this. What?
King of Canada.
He's the King of Canada. It's unbelievable. We have a king.
To be truly strong, Canada must be secure. To that end, the government will introduce legislation to enhance security at Canada's borders.
Here comes all the stuff that was not in the platform that they ran on, but now they're saying they're going to do.
Law enforcement and intelligence agencies will have new tools to stop the flow.
Intelligence agencies.
And its precursors.
Stop the flow of fentanyl and its precursors. Oh, you're going to deal with this? This is the first time we've heard that they're going to deal with the fentanyl.
The Canada Border Services Agency will be given new powers to examine goods destined for export to prevent the transport of illegal and stolen products, including cars. The government will discharge its duty to protect Canadians and their sovereign rights from wherever challenges may come at home or abroad. To keep communities safe, the government will hire 1,000 more RCMP personnel.
So they're going to get tough on crime all of a sudden? I mean, is this really going to happen?
It will change firearms licensing.
I don't think they have enough people now.
It will change firearms licensing.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Carney gave us their guns back?
Enforcement of yellow and red flag laws. Weapons licenses for those convicted of intimate partner violence and those subject to protection orders will be revoked.
So, did you catch that? What are they? Are they not following through with the red and yellow flag laws right now, or is this a UK thing coming over?
Well, I think those already exist now.
It sounds like that's what people are saying. Like that, if you have a domestic abuse thing, you're sort of yellow or red. But now they're going to start a clamp down on it or something. So, I mean, this sounds like they're coming for guns. They're going to use every excuse in the book.
Through the deployment of scanners, drones, and helicopters, additional personnel, and canine teams, the government will stem the tide of illegal guns and drugs across the border. It will take these steps while protecting the rights of law-abiding gun owners and Indigenous peoples' long-standing hunting traditions. The government will bring a renewed focus on car theft and home invasions by toughening the criminal code.
Home invasion.
by toughening the criminal code. How about you just follow what's there right now? Instead of letting people out, this revolving door.
Bail harder to get for repeat offenders charged with committing these crimes, along with human trafficking and drug smuggling. During this time of great change, Canadians are uniting behind what makes Canada unique.
So I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy to me that we need him to say all that. That really is not stuff that, I mean, is that really all going to happen? I mean, that's what people seem to want, right? Some of it besides the gun obscurity there. I'm not sure that this is from the White Wabbit Warrior. I'm not sure that people understand how bad this is. It is, and if in fact this is a decree passed without Parliament, I've attached the Grok description for those who don't know what red, yellow flag individuals are. Ultimately, any veteran/LEO, like law enforcement officer, who has ever had a diagnosis will now lose their firearms by royal decree. Feel free to tell me how sovereign we are in the comments. Veterans, how likely are you to give up your firearms because the king wills it? I mean, then a bunch of people are pushing back about like, oh, you can't just go to Grok for all that. And well, they're not really
the one. Go to Tracy because she's the one who knows what she's talking about.
Well, she says, I'm not catching what you're talking about. Where does it say anything about veterans with a diagnosis losing their guns? I literally live with a veteran with a diagnosis. The strengthening of red and yellow flag. It's further action on grab, on a grab, and an excuse to demand specifically from anyone with a diagnosis. This is part of C21. It doesn't mention a single thing about that. And it's like, well, I mean, that's what he said right there. So I don't know if it's in a bill or not yet.
Go down. It's going to show.
No, it's just talking about Elizabeth II and Charles III are on this thing.
King Charles.
So then they get into like talking about why the king queen's name is on these bills and stuff. So, which who gives a shit really?
All right. You want to see something neat? Want to see some of this law enforcement in action?
Sure.
This is we are here blocking the Ontario food terminal. This is the largest food and product.
So these are Palestinian protesters.
Oh, I've got that clip too.
We are here blocking the Ontario food terminal. This is the largest food and produce distribution center across all of Canada. We chose this target as a message to the government of Canada to put their words into action. We cannot have any more empty slogans.
Can you imagine if the Freedom Convoy did this?
With masks?
Words, I mean, they must sanction Israel. They must end their ties with Israel and impose a full two-way arms embargo.
Well, they might have preferred we had masks on at the time.
...on Israel. The Ontario Food Terminal has millions of dollars worth of Israeli produce, including Yaffa oranges, flowing through it every single day, despite the fact that 2.1 million people in Gaza are facing imminent death and starvation as a result of Israel's manufactured famine. For the last 2 months, people there have been on the brink of starvation, eating leaves, eating livestock food, eating whatever they can find just to survive. Every single day, people are dying because of lack of food and water, yet Israel continues to blockade the Gaza Strip as part of their ongoing genocide. The government of Canada continues to support Israel in doing this. The only reason they are able to do this is because of the cover given to them by Western governments. I hope this sends a very clear message to Mark Carney and the government of Canada. The people on the ground are fed up with this. The people in Palestine are fed up with this, and the people who are allies in Canada will not watch idly by as this continues to happen under our watch.
The Ontario Food Terminal imports Israeli produce, notably Israeli oranges, directly from Israel. These oranges are grown in the illegally occupied West Bank using stolen land and stolen water, and then they're imported into Canada and... these are the oranges that we find in our grocery.
If anyone should be doing this, the Indians should be doing this. I mean, we should just be doing this. This should be us. I bet you they would bring the army in if it was us.
What do you mean? What why? Because who would you be supporting? Like, you mean
us? You know, we should block.
Well, why would you do that? They just acknowledge that they're on your stolen lands. I mean,
yeah, this is the problem.
Unceded land. So
this is the problem. The acknowledgement is not. It's not doing it.
Well, it's doing it for everybody. It seems like it's doing it for. It's working.
It's not working for me.
Grocery stores that we buy every day. And so we want to call attention to this.
Also, I want to know if I'm eating G oranges.
I don't see Jaffa oranges anywhere.
I've never seen them. All I've seen is always just Florida oranges, Florida oranges, Florida oranges.
Complicity within our government. And we ask the Canadian public to boycott Israeli oranges and other produce coming from Israel. There's about 15 or maybe 20 trucks lined up behind me. They're all massive 18-wheeler trucks. This was kind of the intention of this protest, was to disrupt the food supply chain, to send a message to the Canadian government, to put pressure on the Canadian government to end trade with Israel, sanction Israel, and put in place a two-way arms embargo right now. Because as it currently stands, there is a full-fledged famine happening right now in Gaza. Israel has blocked all entry for aid trucks entering Gaza, and there is about 2.1 million Palestinians starving of hunger right now. So it is our duty as Canadians, as activists, to stand up and call out this complicity and put pressure on our own governments to sanction the government of Israel.
Can I ask a stupid question?
I expect you to.
Can I ask a stupid question? Why why does it seem like nobody is putting pressure on Hamas to let go of the hostages?
Oh, because the hostages are dead.
No, they're not.
I assume they are.
Well, no, they've let go. They've let some out. When Trump was in, he got some out, right? Some came out alive. But why is nobody talking about that? Like, why? Because Israel, that's their like stealthy excuse that they're like, well, they still have the hostages. So we're still trying to destroy Hamas. If Hamas gave back the hostages, then if Israel continued, then that would be a major problem, right? I mean, I think it's a problem now. I'm not trying to defend what they're doing, but why is there no pressure on Hamas? Like, why aren't the Palestinians putting pressure on Hamas to let go of the hostages? Like, that's, I just don't understand that. Like, if somebody had some of us as hostages and somebody was bombing the shit out of us, we'd like, fucking give the hostages back. What are you gaining out of this? I don't understand it. What?
I don't understand any of it.
Yeah.
Are you want to do banned books?
Sure. Let's get off this Israel orange topic.
All right. Alberta to set guidelines on school library books after parents flag sexually explicit content. So this might be the one instance I'm okay with banning books.
Well, it's not bad. You're not banning books. You can go. It's
18 and up.
Oh, you're not burning books. Okay. So because it was somebody arguing over like, oh, that's book burning. It's like, well, no, you can go to the library and get it, or you can order it on Amazon. They just don't want it in the school library, right?
That's right. The Alberta government plans to develop guidelines for school library book selection after finding sexually explicit content in a number of K-12 libraries in Edmonton and Calgary. They say the new guidelines will be created after receiving public input through an online survey where Albertans can share what they believe is appropriate for school library collections. As a parent, it is extremely concerning to me to find out that books explicitly depicting sexual acts are available to students in some school libraries. We're going to do something about this serious issue by consulting Albertans and creating standards to ensure students do not have access to age-inappropriate materials in school libraries. Nicolade said the idea to introduce new safeguards came after a group of parents raised concerns, providing excerpts from books with graphic content and evidence that those books were available in elementary school libraries. Some of the books identified as inappropriate by the province included Gender Queer, a graphic novel by Maya Kobabe, Fun Home, a graphic novel by Alison Bechtel, Blankets, a graphic novel by Craig Thompson, and Flamer, a graphic novel by Mike Corrado. These books were found in schools overseen by the Edmonton Public School Board and the Calgary Board of Education, according to the province. In response, the two school boards issued a joint statement that same day, saying that they were deeply concerned about the province's unilateral announcement. Both our divisions follow established rigorous processes to ensure that library resources are age-appropriate and relevant for students, the statement reads. We recognize that coming-of-age books, often available for students to choose independently, have historically been topics of discussion. So I don't want to point any fingers. I don't want to cast aspersions or blame anyone. There's clearly something with respect to process and procedure that has faltered here. So they seem upset that they're taking away their queer books. The online public survey will be open until June 6th. I don't think it should be a problem to follow guidelines that broadly say you can't have graphic sexual images in elementary schools or in junior high schools. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I just don't see it necessary. Why do you have to have what?
I mean, the parents should just get to decide, honestly.
How do the parents decide?
Well, they say they're going to do a survey.
I don't like the whole, like, having to survey every time, like, this happens. Like,
I do.
You used to have a rating system, right? R-rated, all that stuff. Like, if you're showing, like, boys sucking off other boys, like, that should be just R-rated.
Yeah, I agree. It
should just be R-rated and not allowed in a kid's school. Like, I just don't understand
how
it's slipped away. Like, all those things we had in place. Yeah.
There was no books in my library about banging chicks either. You know, it's not like those books exist.
No, I had to read Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. Like, it was
except for during sex ed. where it was like the date rape videos and all that stuff. You know, they used to sit y'all down and just hit play on the video and like walk out of the room. Yeah. Some chick getting date raped and then another one getting pregnant and little corny little skits. I'd like to track some of those old skits down. I always use the one on my wife. You turn me on, now you got to give it up.
They'd wheel the little TV out with the VCR on it, right? On the stand. And
exactly. Yeah, that's the exact situation. Yeah. And you'd start learning about banging. Anyway, did you hear about this? This is on Billboard Chris's thing, but this is breaking, I believe. Huge political scandal unfolding in British Columbia. John Rustad and the BC Conservative Party paid $100,000 for the votes of 100 South Asian men. $1,000 each, who they bust and ferried in to rig the party's AGM.
Several sitting conservatives. We are here today to report credible evidence.
Have you heard about this?
No, it's hard for me to believe, actually.
Indicating that John Rustad and his senior staff
made. It's the same ones that kicked out those three people, right? Wyatt seems to agree with it.
With it, what it is in what? It's
real.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never heard of it before. It would just disappoint me that Rustad would actively do some sort of thing like that.
This is breaking. Breaking is of like the last hour, I think. Okay. I found it just right in the lot as we were getting ready.
But what did you mean by the three people? Like that, isn't that the one that's getting kicked out of cabinet all the time? That
Dallas, those Dallas three people. Brody? Kicked out because of saying that there was no bodies.
Right.
Where they didn't find any bodies. And now they're saying that she's a residential school denier, which it doesn't seem like she is. I mean, she's pushing the envelope, but, you know.
It doesn't matter if she is.
I disagree with.
You should have an.
She does have some stuff that I'd like to debate her on, but nothing egregious.
Yeah, that's like people are allowed their opinion. They should be able to deny that if they want.
Committed election fraud during the Conservative Party of BC's AGM this last March. I believe that John Rustad and his senior staff rigged the party's own election. It was this belief and his unprincipled expulsion of my colleague, Dallas Brody, that compelled me to leave the party. The purpose of this press conference is to share some of this evidence with the public and call upon the Conservative Party of BC to do the right thing and undertake an independent third-party audit of the party's AGM election processes. Shortly after the party's AGM on March 1st, a senior member of John Rustad's executive team made the following confessions to me. This individual stated that over 100 South Asian men were sent by bus and ferry by the party for the specific purpose of voting for John's slate of directors and a new constitution. I was advised that the Conservative Party of BC paid approximately $100,000 to get these individuals to and from the AGM and on other measures to rig this election.
Can you pause it for a sec?
Yeah, I can stop it anytime too. This is
do you really think Rustad would do something that's illegal like that? I mean, maybe, but
pictures. I mean, here's the thing. I don't know Rustad from a hole in the ground, so I would not want to make any comments.
Well, I've just heard him. I don't either, but I've heard him in some long form podcast, and it just doesn't seem like he's the type of guy to stoop to that level. But I mean, it happened in Alberta when we were doing there was the Red Deer thing with the Conservatives, right? And they were trying to get people up to the Conservative voting, right? The rally, right? So they were saying there was a bit of a controversy because they were charging people for fees, like you had to pay your Conservative fee to get up there. But there was people being bussed from Calgary, wasn't there? And Edmonton to Red Deer at the time. Like, I don't know where I'd really like to know more about the details of this. Like, how would it, this $100,000 for 100 East? So basically, what did they say? East Asians or something? So they're saying the East Indians, basically, right? A bunch of East Indians. They paid a bunch of East Indians to come and vote in the Conservative election. What, 100 people swing, something like that?
I don't know. Let's see what Rustad has to say.
The question, the three independents, the Reformative Conservatives, had a news conference today in which they alleged that a staffer paid $100,000 to transport 100 South Asians to the AGM in March to vote for your slate of candidates. What do you say to that?
You know, there are so many very important issues that we need to be talking about, Bill 14, Bill 15, Bill 7. The party followed all the appropriate rules in terms of the AGM. I have no idea why they want to go out of this, but clearly they don't have the interest of British Columbians in mind.
Dallas Brody even said that she spoke to you one time and you talked about what she termed Indo-Pact. Do you recall that conversation?
What I do recall in speaking with Dallas Brody at one time when she came in and she had some concerns is she first of all, in a private meeting we had, demanded to be kicked out of caucus, and then she settled down and she said, I don't know why I'm here, I should just quit. We've had many conversations between Dallas Brody and I, but I can tell you what we are concerned about is really, you know, valid issues for the people in British Columbia. Bill 14, Bill 15, Bill 7, these are overreaches of democracy. These is, you know, front from my perspective to the legislature, the process of British Columbia. That's what we're focused on. That's what we're fighting. We're fighting for the people in British Columbia.
Okay, so Wyatt Claypool says that he thinks that's legit accusation.
Let's see what Wyatt says here.
Because John's just saying, like, well, we follow the rules, right? I mean, I just doubt he would lately break the rules. I just don't see them doing that. But
so Wyatt says John Rustad doesn't deny his team bust in what are effectively fake delegates to vote for his board slate at the Conservative AGM. He basically says he cheated legally. Not a great first line of defense. More will come out. So, I mean, I checked Wyatt because Wyatt's one of those guys I just tend to trust. I know he bleeds conservative.
Yeah, me too. And I kind of agree what he says. Yeah, cheated legally. I'm just, you know, it just seems like it's a bunch of drama in the Conservative Party in BC, and they're so close to winning, like literally one seat away from winning. And there was all that cheating, you know, on the other side that came out at the end. That what does that person say there?
This is talking about Mr. Fraud by Mr. Rustad. I was there, I seen the cheating. It was so obvious everybody there was talking about it. These are credible allegations of election fraud by Mr. Rustad and members of his senior executive team. I think they're going to do an audit, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, well.
The Khalistani rapper conspiracy. What is that?
I come from a singing family myself, and Jazzy B did sing part of my dad's song about 30 years ago. I really appreciated that. And so I want to just welcome Jazzy B and also Sabi Kooner, Interpol Moga Chenny Nutton, who I know from the community.
Pro terror rappers. Okay, what's this? Screenshots from the music video. I'm down a rabbit hole now.
Yeah, don't.
I don't want to hit play on any of these. All right, I better stop there.
I better stop that rabbit hole pretty quick.
Anyway, I agree. It's disappointing.
Yeah.
But I think Wyatt was actually pretty involved in that election even, you know?
Yeah. So, have you seen this one? I'm actually shocked. This is from Mario Zelaya. CBC is straight up bragging how we shut down one of Canada's biggest news content farms. Do you ever watch Real Talk Politics or listen to Real Talk Politics at all?
Yeah, I think it was some bullshit AI thing.
Was it? Yeah, I wondered about that. But this is literally the description on their YouTube channel, and it shows that they get more views than them and CTV News. Unbelievable. So how we shut down. So this is,
if it's the same place, I had watched a few of their videos and I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. I wondered about that. How we shut down one of Canada's biggest news content farms. Real Talk Politics has become one of the most popular Canada-based news and politics accounts on YouTube by focusing on American politics. This channel and other content farms like it tweak their style and substance to tap into the site's algorithm in search of views and revenue. CBC's Visual Investigation Unit breaks down the formula behind the account. Who's behind it? Oops, excuse me. How it evolved. Blah, blah, blah. Nuts. The broad, this is from Eva Chipiak. The Broadcasting Act entrusts CBC Radio Canada with a mandate to provide a wide range of programming that informs, enlightens, and entertains. The Act also sets out several objectives for its programming, including that it should be predominantly and distinctively Canadian, actively contribute to the flow and exchange of cultural expression, and reflect the different needs and circumstances of each official language community. What gives CBC the mandate to shut down other news and content providers? So, I mean, yeah, people are pretty pissed, it seems. Real Talk actually talks about it here. He's got six quotes. CBC, Canada's state-funded media, just got YouTube to terminate my channel. Not for breaking rules, but for having the wrong political views. CBC couldn't compete with the content, so they tried to erase it. This is censorship in Canada. I didn't break any rules, no strikes, no deception, just political commentary. And yet, YouTube terminated the entire channel shortly after CBC reached out with hit piece questions. Here's what's wild. I was pulling more views than CBC, which really bothered them. They clearly don't understand how YouTube works with most of the audience outside Canada. But CBC, desperate for relevance, couldn't stand that. So what did they do? They contacted YouTube, and not long after, the channel vanished. Just no real explanation, no public process, just gone, like it never existed. CBC and YouTube clearly don't understand how the internet works. They think they can silence people with opposing views. But all they've done is expose their own fear and their willingness to crush speech they don't like. When state media and big tech team up to silence a creator because of political ideology, it's not just censorship, it's tyranny with a smile. So, what is, wow, Lion Advocacy, that's Viva's brother. Wow, CBC sponsored censorship for being too formulaic, changing focus to politics, mean words, videos too short, using AI, mean words again. taking its role as social media deputy to the next level. Carney's Brave New Canada. So here's, okay, this is going to be interesting then. So here it is. Changing subject matter. So CBC News Visuals Investigations and looked into the Real Talk Politics account and found its videos were highly formulaic. I mean, and I don't like this either, right? Like, I just won't watch that kind of stuff. I know what you mean. Like, if it's AI, like, narrative and AI, like, voice, and I just won't, I just don't really like it, right? I need to have a real voice. I just don't like consuming that, and I can usually tell pretty quick. And that the focus of the channel, along with the sister account on TikTok, had changed over the past few years, moving from finance content to covering Canadian-American politics. Short-form videos on the YouTube channel often feature a conservative figure as they humiliate, destroy, or humble a liberal one. So it's okay for the left to do it to the right. The approximately one-minute-long videos feature what seems to be an AI voiceover and include some edits and images to illustrate what is being discussed. One of the recent videos was entitled Canada's Corrupt Woke Government.
Oh, I keep using the wrong keyboard.
Yeah, too few details. What was the name of the channel? There's lots of people who get more views than the CBC. Seems hard to believe that you have all the information when YouTube hardly tells anyone anything. How are you sure that it happened the way you said it? That I'm no CBC fan, just saying. So then let's just say the update, I think this came in recently, like yesterday. YouTube says it supports creator, but when CBC, they listen, when they asked to be silenced, they shut down my channel, blah, blah, blah. I ran an independent political commentary channel, real editing, real scripts, and no rule breaking. But I was getting more views than CBC. That's all it took. They couldn't compete, so they attacked me instead. They flagged a video, a Ronald Reagan AI clip, It wasn't labeled AI when I found it on YouTube, and I made a mistake using it. YouTube's own policy says that one-off AI usage without deception is not grounds for termination. This was clearly a hit job. YouTube shut me down before CBC's article even dropped. That's not a coincidence. No real warning, no clear violation, just vague terms and a full ban after state-funded media applied pressure. So I'm just not going to read this, just more bitching and complaining. So do you have anything? Do you have anything to add to that at all? Or?
Well, I have is the Rumble channel here. So let's just play this video.
Oh, good job. Yeah.
One of the perennial questions.
Oh, no, that's not. That's not him.
And the subject of much science fiction is, okay, can machines be taught to think? And how will we know if they have? Alan Turing explored this question in his seminal 1950 paper,
Computing,
Machinery, and Intelligence.
I think I've watched Sargon's video, who is the one talking right now, about this. So Real Talk is playing Sargon of Akkad, but let's keep going.
In which he introduced us to the concept of the imitation game, which we now colloquially call the concerning, given how he is one of the leads on the subject. Survey of AI experts apparently found that over a been releasing ever more impressive videos of Spot.
So it seems like that's just Sargon's whole video, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. What's going on there?
Here's the other video.
We can't have 9 angry lesbians controlling everything that goes on.
Another one that's not him. So I don't know. This could not even be his real channel.
Yeah, it might not be. Yeah.
Just sprouted up on Rumble yesterday.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's all I got.
He's not putting it up on somebody asked why he doesn't put it up on X, and that's a good point. I mean, I don't know why he's not putting all this stuff on X.
Because he hasn't figured out the X algo.
Yeah.
You can surf the algos to a certain extent. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have any more?
Yeah, I mean, I got this one that I've been putting off, and it's just remember how we've been warning about the separation movement. Actually, I have two quick ones. One I need to ask you about, but this is from Nadine Ness. She's kind of leading the unified grassroots movement in Saskatchewan to try and, you know, do what Alberta's doing. And NDP has been reacting really strange to this. Like, I'm just, you know, but I've been warning that it's going to get real nasty with the separatist movement. I mean, they're already calling everybody, you know, they're ruining the country and this and that. But here's the NDP party in Saskatchewan. Like, they're actually lying about it, right? So Nadine actually put out a good press release here. I just want to show this, that the NDP had yet another press conference today lying about us. To set the record straight, we release a press release pointing out all of their lies, demanding a retraction. If they lie to you about us, what else are they lying about? Feel free to tag any MSN you know in SK and put this on any of the lies they spread. So for immediate release here, NDP escalates lie campaign, unified grassroots response with facts. Let's be clear. This is a lie, a bald-faced, bold-faced intentional.
Oh, bald. I think it's bald-faced lie. I think that's
bold,
right.
Bold. Old.
I'll look it up. Oh, yeah,
you're gonna need to know what this is. How much you want to bet?
$10.
Okay.
Dinner.
Okay, dinner. So I've said it publicly on my own show and social media over and over again. I don't want Saskatchewan controlled by Washington any more than I want it controlled by Ottawa, said Nadine Ness, president of Unified Grassroots. We are not campaigning for separation. We are not campaigning for U.S. statehood. We are gathering citizens who want more sovereignty so we can listen, not dictate, which I will add is the opposite of what the NDP is doing with their recent antics. They want to silence the people and dictate. They are the real threat to democracy. So she talks about what the movement is. I'm going to skip through some of this. The NDP's lies and the truth. So the NDP, UG, wants Saskatchewan to become the 51st state. So they say, she clarifies that. Lie number two, they're a separatist group organizing a separatist town hall campaign. Lie number two, and then they respond to that. UG is collecting signatures to force a plebiscite or referendum. I mean, it is pretty interesting. They have a secret influence over the Sask Party. We run a nonpartisan organization. We do not run candidates. We encourage Saskatchewan residents of any party, including the NDP, to get involved in civic life. That's democracy, not conspiracy. And then lie number five, their campaign will harm the economy. Hosting public meetings on Saskatchewan's future doesn't kill jobs. We demand accountability and transparency. This week alone, the NDP has used every tool in the book to smear Saskatchewan citizens' fear, fiction, and flat-out lies. So United Grassroots calls on the NDP to immediately retract false claims about Unified Grassroots and Nadine Ness. Stop attacking citizens for attending lawful, peaceful town halls. Respect the right of Saskatchewan people to be heard, even if they disagree. I mean, it's infuriating. It is. Here's a poster. Actually, I should have gone last weekend. I'll go to the next one. That's pretty close by me. So yeah, I got to do the next one. I kind of missed this one, but there's the poster here.
All right. Ready?
So she's just saying here, even in the thing, as we discuss the advantages of Saskatchewan sovereignty. And you know what? It's just infuriating that I feel like one side can just get away with all this lying and all this stuff. And it's just like it's a two-tier system all the way to the top, it seems, you know? Okay.
Well, I got the response.
Okay.
So let's see. It looks like you owe me dinner.
No.
The bald face lie, bald, B-A-L-D, is the more widely accepted and traditional form of the expression in modern usage. It means a blatantly obvious, shameless, and undisguised lie.
Well, you don't have to keep reading the description to ask why it's supposed to be bold face. Ask him, what did you say? How did you ask? Let me see how you asked it. You're a prompt engineer. Bald, I don't trust the way you.
I was going to actually ask, maybe start work as a prompt engineer because I am pretty good. So I put bald face or bold face. The correct term depends on what you're referring to. Bold face refers to a type of font that is thick and dark, like bold text.
Oh, come on.
Bald face is used in the same metaphorical sense of bald face lie, more common in American English. Use bold faced when talking about typography.
Oh, brazen expression.
And use bald faced when you mean something shameless and undisguised.
Okay, so brazen expression is where bold face lie comes in then.
Yeah. So I think you owe me.
All right, you won that one. I mean, I can't believe bald is more popular, but that was a good one. Yeah, you got it. I'll give that one to you.
Olay. All
right. So here. Go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead. I got more. You go ahead. I don't want to do anything.
Well, I want to ask this. This is in your neighborhood here. So, I mean, did you know that so the JCCF, right, in Calgary here, this Corey Morgan guy here, journalist.
X all the time.
What's that?
I fight with him on X.
You fight with him, yeah. He challenges Siksika's Nation's attempt to muzzle criticism of reserve living conditions. So apparently he was on the public roads there, and he's fighting two trespassing tickets issued by the Nation Protective Services after drawing attention to living conditions on the reserve. He's a columnist with the Western Standard known for his candid commentary on social and political issues. He has over 68,000 followers on X, blah, blah, blah. March, he visited the Siksika Nation to film a narrated tour highlighting social challenges such as housing, clean water, crime, and poverty. Talks about his how many views it got and all that. While filming, he remained on public roads and marked sites including Sun College, historical landmarks, and a cemetery. Its nation's own bylaws confirm that a person traveling on a public road or on through the reserve has a right to access such areas. Despite this, he was later served with two $1,000 tickets for alleged trespass. What do you think of that?
Well, it's, I don't know. Yeah.
You think they should, is it worth fighting somebody on that? I mean, isn't it going to cause more? problems?
Yeah, well, probably it's like they just want some. This is, they don't have the power to actually ask, tell, say that who they want and don't want on the thing. But it seems like he's there even just trying to help out. It's hard to know. Like I say, Corey can be a dick sometimes too. So I'd like, you know, you'd have, because a lot of this is going to boil down to interaction. You know, I get in interactions all the time that can go either way, and they do go either way depending on how I feel like going with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he says they don't appear to be based on his presence on the land, but rather based on his opposition to the views expressed in his videos. He says he's committed to exposing the conditions on Canadian Indigenous reserves while seeking effective system solutions to the problem. I will not mind.
Surprised to see councils freaking out about people trying. You know, like, I'm not a very popular Indian either.
Have you thought about like putting together some data and information for all of them to say, like, you guys are like all wanting to elbows up, want to stay with Canada. You're making a big fuss over this. And like, have you looked at these fucking stats?
I don't know that they all do. You know, we only hear from the ones that do.
Your mom agrees with me.
That's never a good sign, buddy. You knew you lost the bet as soon as mom agreed with you.
Yeah. You know what I mean, though, about the stats? Like, I don't know. I mean, is it worth, like, putting something together like that? I mean.
Well, maybe. I think it'd be hard to get on a lot of them. It's over 600. I mean, this is quite the, just getting email addresses was like a multi-week long. You know, it's a real.
No, I'm just talking about stats, like, you know. The stuff that we talk about on the show all the time, whether it's like the childhood stats, the clean water stuff, the bullet points about, I feel like there could be a good summary to say, like, you guys think you have sovereignty now. Look at all this that, you know, for some reason they don't realize that.
Well, I could just read one of my articles probably.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do one more because it kind of fits in with this one here. From Preston Manning, pushing back against the flawed narrative on Western discontent.
Ooh.
Continued expressions of dissatisfaction in Western Canada with the organization and performance of Canadian Confederation, including calls for secession from a minority of citizens, have led to numerous news pieces and commentaries on the subject by central Canadian media and political commentators. But most of these suffer from four main flaws, which call for pushback. First, pushback is required against repeated reports that Western unrest is just an Alberta thing. The truth, and Central Canadians deserve to know it, is that the current dissatisfaction with Confederation in Western Canada is widespread. It is a Canada West dissatisfaction, which is not only by many in Alberta, but also by many in Saskatchewan, rural Manitoba, and much of British Columbia. In particular, the eastern, central, and northern parts of that province. This is likely to be confirmed by post-election polling, the results of which should be available by the end of May. Secondly, pushback is required against misleading reports by central Canadian commentators, implying that the only proposal on the table for addressing Western dissatisfaction is secession. Again, this is simply not the truth, certainly not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The truth is that secession is only one of several current options for responding to Western dissatisfaction, and secession is not the most popular one, since a majority of Westerners still hope that their current concerns and aspirations can be met within, not separated from, Confederation. Quick one thing.
So when they say center, this might be confusing for people, but when they say central Canada, they mean
Ottawa, Montreal and Ottawa. Thirdly, pushback is required against the frequent and malicious misrepresentations of Premier Smith's willingness to allow Albertans to answer a clear question on secession via a province-wide referendum, giving the false impression that by doing so, she supports a secessionist option when she has repeatedly said she does not. Premier Smith, whom I've known for a long time, is a libertarian, a conservative, federalist, and she is also a Democrat, as all of us who seek or hold public office in this country should be, regardless of party. And the democratic way to handle an issue like the minority demand for secession is not to suppress it by censoring and canceling those who advocate it, but to get it out in the open, subject it to broader cross-examination and debate, to compare and contrast it with other alternatives, and to ultimately facilitate a vote on whether this option should be further pursued or not. This is precisely what Premier Smith is doing, and her employment of the democratic referendum process to deal with pro-succession sentiment should be applauded, not misrepresented. Finally, pushback is almost certainly required against the fallacious charge that those who are identifying the features of Canadian federalism that are alienating a substantial portion of the population and who seek to remedy those flaws are out to divide the country at a time when we should all be pulling together. No one, least of all Westerners, disagrees that Canada needs to be more united than ever before, united to improve our domestic well-being and more united to better represent ourselves internationally, particularly in future trade negotiations with the United States. But to be so united, we need to deal first and foremost with the internal divisions that weaken us, many of which are the products of 9 years of misrule by the Liberal government. I don't know if I'd agree with that. I would say that the Alberta problem has been around since Alberta was a province. For example, major intrusions of the federal government into areas of provincial jurisdiction, health, municipal governance, civil rights, and particularly natural resource development. Canada has also been seriously divided by the fixation of the federal government and globalists on climate change when the priorities of rank and file Canadians are making the necessities of life, including owning a home, more affordable. Likewise, the federal government's arbitrary and misguided pursuit of diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives has tended not to unite, but to divide Canadians on the basis of race, gender, and sexual preference. And so time for pushback against misguided reports that Western alienation is confined to Alberta, pushback against suggestions that secession is the only option under consideration for dealing with Western discontents, pushback against the charge that allowing secessionist issues to be dealt with by a democratic referendum is synonymous with supporting secession, and pushback against the canard that Western Canadians working to eliminate major barriers dividing the country are unpatriotic and oblivious to the need for Canadians to pull together like never before. I don't know if I agree with the end of it. I feel like most of us have. I don't know, because I might be the crazy separatist. You are muted though, so I don't know what you're saying.
So, I mean, and here's like one of the reasons why I just want to show this graph quick from Marty up north. So, and this is only from 2020 to 2022, right? So it's 1985 versus 2022, the median household income down there and the price of a home and then where it is right now. I mean, look at this. This is what we're dealing with. No wonder why people don't want to keep going on with this confederation, right? And I mean, what's that like now, 2 years after? Probably up to 700. What?
Put the price of gold beside that, the value of gold, and I bet you it's the exact same. Didn't we do that chart? It goes all the way back to Roman times, I've discovered, that you could buy a good suit with an ounce of gold from Roman times to today. But soon it'll take a wheelbarrow full of money. Anyway, should we get out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want to support us, if you like what we're doing, head over to a-list.ca, and you can support us there. If you're getting some value from the program, you can send some value back our way there. You can also share and subscribe and comment on YouTube, become a member on YouTube if you want. But mostly share, subscribe, comment. That all helps us. Support us if you want to. Check out all our stuff. We do tours and events and audiobooks, adultbrain.ca for audiobooks, grammarica.ca for all our other stuff, and contact at the cabin for trips and events.com. Other than that, we love you guys, and we should probably see you on Tuesday.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north? Oh, true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow?
You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun, is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrities most told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.